Good morning. Good to see everybody today. The sun's shining and should be melting the little bit of snow that we got. Thankfully, it was just a little bit and hopefully not too slick for everybody driving in. So it is a beautiful day, an exciting day. I want to say a special welcome to the family that's here with Corey and Cindy Heckenleibel for Connor's baptism. So welcome to all of you. It's an exciting day for sure. Couple other announcements that I have to go over. This afternoon, the confirmation classes, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, we're going tubing at Great Bear. So those that are going, we have to be here to the church by 2:30. That's when we want to leave at 2:30. So come a little before that, please. Parents, hopefully you have filled out the waiver online for your kids. That has got to be done, or else they'll be hanging out with me, I guess. So please remember that. We'll eat first at Pizza Ranch, so they don't need a great big lunch because we'll be doing that the first thing, and then the tubing. Should be home, I'm thinking, by 8 o'clock-ish, just if you're wondering, okay? Prayers for safety. All right, this Wednesday night is our next Lenten service, 7 o'clock, and Carl Zabe's going to be sharing some about Barabbas. If you remember, Barabbas was the one that Pilate gave the option, do you want me to release Barabbas or Jesus? Of course, the crowd chose Barabbas, so it'll be very interesting. That's this evening at 7. An announcement about Vacation Bible School, which might seem far away, but it's really not. It's the end of May when we start. So there are sign-up sheets in the social hall for different things. One for t-shirts for the children. You need the names and sizes on there. I didn't ask Sherry. Is that still suggested $10 or what? Yeah, $10 per shirt. Okay. So there's that. Your music CDs you should have had from last year. It's the same VBS that we were not able to do last year. So get that out again. Play it with the kids so they're learning those songs. Then there's some help yet that we need. A lot of the positions are filled, but there's a few that aren't. One for the snacks. We need a leader for that crew in there. Okay. For science, that workshop, we need two people for the science part of it. It's not scary. You have a book that tells you everything you need to do, all right? We provide it, somebody said. Yes, we need another person to help with games. Is that to lead in the games? We need two helpers for the pre-primary group. Those are the little ones. And high schoolers, we need help for some of the daycare, all right? So that's if mothers that are working that have little ones that are under 3 years old, that you get to take care of them. That's fun, right? Girls, I don't know what the guys might do, but no. So there's sign-up sheets for all of that out there. So please look through that and help. This year, it's open to whoever. Last year, what we did, we had to restrict it just to our kids. But this year, yeah, if you have friends that you want to invite, that's totally fine. Okay. Let us bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the sunshine that has come through, broken through the clouds and bringing warmth to our day. This is your earth, your world, and we know that. As we often sing, for the beauty of the earth and all of your creation that is truly amazing. And we are blessed to live in this part of this world. We are greatly, greatly blessed and thankful that we are right here in South Dakota. And we are glad to be in this sanctuary, Father, where we come to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we ask that your glory would fill this place, that you would move among us by the power of your Spirit in a mighty, mighty way. We have wonderful things to celebrate this day, for this is the day that you have made, and we thank you. And we sing of your glory with all of our hearts and all of our voices as we praise your name. Thank you for these things, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And so our opening hymn is number 21, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. Let's stand together, please. Take a moment, give an air high five or however greeting you want to do, please, before you are seated. That's right. Good morning. You can be seated. We'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here this morning. I have several things. First of all, a big congratulations to our girls' basketball team. A bunch of them are right here on the front row. Yeah. As they won at Regions the other night. Was that Thursday night? And now they go on to the Sweet 16, as that's how it's set up now in recent years, which they will be playing in Huron this week, Thursday night, against Selby Harriet at 6:30. All right. So we pray for them. And the boys, a bunch of them which are in the second row, they start their region tournament tomorrow night. They play here at Menno the first game. So prayers for all of them. And they're going to sing for us today after a while. Couple other things. So we have a new baby in the church, Lonnie and Kyle Stepanik. Lonnie had her little girl on, little boy. Oh my gosh. Getting ahead of myself. Thank you, dear. My mom always did that to my mom too, by the way. My mom did it to my dad. We better start over here. Oh, Lord, help me. So anyway, they had a little baby boy. Lonnie did. His name is Nolan Romy Stepanik, and he's 8 pounds, 11 ounces. They got to come home yesterday. Ooh. Oh, let's try. I hope this gets a little better. So a couple other things. Eugene Weidenbach passed away early yesterday morning, about 1:30 in the morning. He had been in hospice all week at the VA, a little more than a week. So his funeral service will be here on Friday morning at 10:30. There'll be a visitation Thursday evening here. I'm not sure what time that starts yet, but prayer service at 7. So there will be lunch after the funeral. A lot of you are probably wondering, how are we doing that? So yes, we are. Also, Edna Clute passed away this week. And her funeral service is also Friday morning at Peace Christian Reformed Church at 10:30. So that's unfortunate that they're both in town, both at the very same time. But with scheduling and all, that's just was really the only option. So I don't know if they're doing visitation. I don't have those details for Edna. But both services are Friday morning here in town. Betty Steffen, that would be Cleo's wife, she passed away also. They're having a sort of a praise and worship service celebrating her life Wednesday night over at the Olivet Methodist Church at 7 o'clock. Okay? So go on the funeral home websites and you can find those details if you forget. Otherwise, prayers for Jake Seiler or Walter. This would be Joanne Nuss's brother. He was recently diagnosed with stage 4 bone cancer and will probably start treatment this week, right? We think. For Phyllis Whale, this is Jennifer's mother who has the acute myeloid leukemia. She started treatment this last week, Wednesday. No. She didn't start treatment. Okay, I'm sorry. I guess I misread that on the text. Okay, she has not started, but she's in the hospital. Hope to start this week. Okay, thank you. So prayers for Phyllis and Randy and the family. I think that's all that I have. For Bev Oldham. Bev, you know, Eugene Herbolt, David's father, Eugene, and Bev was his special friend, and she is in the hospital. She lives in Spearfish. She had a situation, I don't know how to explain it, where...
It was a mass between her heart and her lungs.
Okay, a mass between her heart and lungs. It's pushing against the esophagus. They don't think there's anything that they can do medically. So we pray for Bev as well. Okay, anything else over here? Daniel? This coming Thursday is Ivana Schaefer's birthday. Happy birthday. How old are you going to be? 9? All right. Okay, there's, whose hand is that back there? McKinley. Whose birthday? Lincoln Guthmiller's birthday is this Tuesday. All right, is he going to be 3? Happy birthday to Lincoln. Michael. Jerry and Joanne's anniversary is today. It must be 51. Congratulations. All right, that's exciting. God bless you. Okay. Yes, Kiara. Yesterday was Jeff Nuss's birthday. Thank you. Harriet. Austin Sokup's birthday was Friday. Correct? Yeah. Okay, happy birthday, Austin. Yes, Kayleen. And Kayleen got out of the hospital yesterday, and here she is.
Yes, I'd like to thank everyone for their prayers and calls and so forth, because he is the healer.
Amen. Yes, he is. Amen. She had some issues with the kidney stone and spent most of the week up at Sanford. So, praise the Lord. You're looking good. Amen. All right. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, there's so much to share, many things to rejoice about, certainly with our girls' basketball team and the boys, too, as they start their regions. We just lift them up and thank you for blessing them. Thank you for the talents and skills you've put within them and that they do this for certainly for enjoyment, but for your glory also. And thank you for guiding them through this week. For a new baby born to Kyle and Lonnie Stepanek, little Nolan Romy Stepanek. Thank you for blessing them, Lord, as they came home yesterday afternoon and now are adjusting to a new life with a little boy. And thank you for watching over them. Lord, certainly for the baptism today of Connor Heckenleibel and all the family here, we rejoice with them at this very important day in their lives and in this journey of faith. Father, we thank you for Kayleen, that she was able to come home yesterday, and for your healing hand working through her body, that your power continues to work in her body as you renew her strength day by day. Lord, for the family of Eugene Weidenbach and the family of Betty Steffen, the family of Edna Klute at their homegoings, we lift them all to you and thank you for your comfort and your peace as you minister to each of them And we rejoice, Lord, thinking about all that they're experiencing now before your throne in heaven. We lift up Jake Seiler and Phyllis Whale and many other names there in our bulletin. Father, in various stages of cancer treatment, thank you for being with them. Thank you for your power at work in their bodies, Jesus. And for giving wisdom to the doctors as they determine what course of treatments are necessary. Hold them close. As we pray, Lord, for our nation, thanking you for a mighty outpouring of your Spirit upon us. Thank you for healing. Thank you for directing and guiding our leaders in Washington and in our state and all the way down to the local level. For your word says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And you direct it whithersoever way you will, even as you direct the courses of water. And we trust you in that. We pray for our troops serving so faithfully at home and abroad. Keep them safe. Give their commanders wisdom and insight and discernment. Lord, for our highway workers as they go out so early in the morning on difficult weather conditions, keep them safe. Be with the farmers that are calving, lambing as well. We pray that that process goes good. For so many other things, Lord, we thank you for them all. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read from Psalm chapter 40. We don't pass the plates yet here, but we have an offering box in the back. So Psalm 40, verse 1 says this, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, and he set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Let's stand and we'll sing the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Father, we thank you for your word that you give us a firm place to stand, and that is upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is our rock, the rock of ages, that no matter what happens in this world around us, which can many days seem like shifting and sinking sand, we stand upon you, Lord, and your word. Even as we give, as we bring the first fruits of all of our increase here, we bring them joyfully. And thank you for blessing them for the work of the ministry here and as far and wide as it happens to go. We thank you for your goodness, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, and we will have our baptism now. So if Corey and Cindy want to come with Connor and also Jeremy and Danielle as sponsors, you can come, please. Yeah, you can stand over here. Hey, you're awake, aren't you? He's almost 4 months old on
Wednesday,
yep. So Corey and Cindy Heckenleibel. Corey works in Yankton as a maintenance technician at Hydro, used to be Alumax some time ago. And Cindy is an occupational therapist at the Sacred Heart Hospital. And this is their first. And this is Jeremy and Danielle Servatka. Jeremy and Cindy are brother and sister. So thank you for being here also. I want to read from Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 13. It says, people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant, and he said to them, let the little children come unto me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. And so I have four questions, which I've gone over with Corey and Cindy as we met, and but you can answer also as the sponsors. And these are promises that they are making before God for Connor today. First, do you desire to have your child baptized today? And do you understand that through this sacrament of baptism that we are actually dedicating Connor unto the Lord? If so, answer, we do. And will you instruct and encourage this child to renounce the powers of evil? And will you teach him the word of God so that he may be led to profess Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior? If so, answer, we do. Third, do you promise by the grace of God to be Christ's disciples, to follow in the way of our Savior, to resist oppression and evil, and to witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ as best you are able? If so, answer, we do. And fourth, do you promise according to the grace given you to grow with this child in the Christian faith, to help this child to be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ, by celebrating Christ's mission, by furthering his mission in all the world, and by offering the nurture of the Christian church so that he may affirm his baptism? If so, answer, we do. Thank you. And then on the screen, there'll be a response here for the congregation. I'll read the first part. The Bible instructs us to diligently teach God's word to our children. Do you who witness and celebrate this sacrament promise your love and care to this precious child about to be dedicated to the Lord through baptism as he grows in his knowledge of Christ? We promise
our love,
amen. Thank you. So Lee's going to come as he does. So you know that last phrase, I've said this before, we will do our part. So there's help needed for Vacation Bible School, right? Sign up after church. That's what we're talking about. So Lee's filling in for Mark Guthmiller today. He's going to read the pledge from the Christian Ed Committee.
As a representative of the Christian Education Committee, we pledge to provide an environment within this local church where Connor can be taught the word of God, where he can grow up spiritually, and where he can begin to develop a personal and intimate relationship with God and his Heavenly Father, and with Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. We would like to present Connor and his family with his baptism candle, and as remembrance of this special day, we also have a little children's first Bible to give to Connor, in hopes that his love for God's word will begin at an early age.
Thank you, Lee. Appreciate that. Okay, you can come over here closer. Okay. Hey. Connor, Alan, Heck and Leibel, so we are here to dedicate you unto the Lord through this sacrament of water baptism. I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. I'll take him here in just a second. Okay. I'll hold him.
It's easiest for you.
Yep, we'll try that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this precious gift to this family. We lift Connor up to you in praise and thanksgiving for a healthy, strong little boy with a big smile on his face already. Thank you for your peace within him and upon him. Thank you for your joy, the joy of the Lord that will be his strength. And we thank you for health and strength and life all the days of his life. And for Corey and Cindy and the family, give them wisdom as they endeavor to bring him up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Guide them by your Spirit. We ask that you give your angels charge over this family wherever they go to and fro, Lord, across the miles. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to bring him down to you, and we'll sing.
Well, is he drooling?
We're going to sing, Yes, Jesus Loves You. Okay.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you.
Thanks, Lee. All right, if the children want to come for the Kingdom Kids time, please.
Boys and girls, how are you today? Good. Well, okay, you can go sit up there. Maybe not. Hey, hi. Do you ever get hungry?
Yes.
Yes. What's your favorite food? Just
Chislic.
Just tell me, Annabeth. Hurry.
Pizza.
Oreos.
And another pizza.
Another pizza.
Candy.
Candy.
Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese.
Junk food.
What?
Junk food.
Cheese pizza.
Mac and cheese with sausage
in it.
Sausage.
Mac and cheese.
Steak.
Oh, lots of very good things. And we usually eat how many times a day? Usually three times a day, right? Because, you know, we have to give it gives us our strength, our physical strength. Food does. Well, I'm going to describe a few foods that Pastor Mike and I like. You see if you can guess it, okay? It already has been said. Well, this is like a pie, but it doesn't have cherries and apples on it. It has pepperoni. It's pizza. Everybody said that. This is a thing that when we go to the games in the gym, whether it's volleyball or basketball or whatever it is, They have this popcorn. We love our popcorn. You will almost always see us with popcorn, right? Okay, here's another food that's, you eat it a lot in the summer, and it's red in the middle, and it's green on the outside, and it has seeds, watermelon. These are all fun. Okay, here's my last one. All right, here's one that's a circle usually, and it could have a hole in the middle, and it's really sweet.
Donuts.
Don't you love donuts? Well, as much as I love to eat all this food, because I do like to eat, there's something else that I like to eat, to feed on. And it's the Bible, the Word of God. Do you know that it tells us? Well, I know. I don't actually eat the Bible. Ooh, that wouldn't be right. But you know what? Listen to this scripture, though, that it tells us in Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 6. It says, Jeremiah said, when your words came, talking to God, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. So is he talking about eating the Bible? No. But he's talking about filling our spirit. You know, Pastor Mike always talks about we're not just a body, where we have a spirit and we have a soul. So just like we have to feed our body, like a lot of times a day to get our strength, we need to feed our spirit. And how do we do that? Reading the Bible. By reading the Bible and by memorizing it and putting it inside of us. And you know, because like when you get sad, you look at God's word and you can get comfort from the words of God. You can feel really sad, you read the word of God, and you are not alone. God is always with us. Sometimes we get mad, don't we? We can get really angry and mad. Well, if we read in the Bible, God will help us through whatever situation we're in. How about when we're happy? We can find scriptures that tell us that God is happy with us too. So just like we feed our bodies, and you know what? I can eat these donuts, and guess what? In about 30 minutes, will I be hungry again? Yeah. Probably. Probably I will be. But you read this word of God, and it never goes away. It will always be with you. All right? So are we going to feed our spirits too? By reading the Bible, right? Okay, let's pray. Let's fold our hands, close our eyes. Aria, sit down. Fold your hands. Close your eyes. Everybody, close your eyes. We're going to pray. Father, we love you so much, and we're so grateful for all these energetic boys and girls up here. We thank you that you've given us food to feed our bodies, but you've given us your word to feed our spirits. Help us all to be desiring more and more of your word, to be wanting to read it and memorize it and use it every day. Bless these boys and girls wherever they go. Help them to shine the light you've put in them to share with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can get your papers.
Okay, and we are going to have our high school youth group sing a song for us, Reckless Love. If you listen to 96.5, you probably hear it on the radio. The words are really amazing. So if you want to start going to your places. Yeah, let's have the boys go. Thank you to the high schoolers. It's a beautiful song, isn't it? To Mick Huber for directing and Jennifer Herbolt for playing. We are blessed, truly blessed, with a good group of young people. I'm going to read here in a moment from part of Psalm chapter 78. First, let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your love for us that is incredible. That as the words to that song say, there's no mountain you won't climb up, no wall you won't tear down, no shadow you won't light up coming after us. We can't hide. We cannot hide. No matter what we've done, you know it. Sometimes, Father, we've all been in places where we've done something and we think, how could you ever continue to love us? But you do. You keep coming after us. You leave the 99 and you come after us, and we say thank you, for your love is overwhelming and your word is incredible. And we enjoy looking into it as we're going to this morning once again. So, Father, I ask that you'd speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Psalm 78, last week we were in Luke 14. Those of you that were here know that. God willing, we'll go back to that next Sunday. But just with baptism today, I wanted to go on these verses here of Psalm 78. This is one of the longer psalms, next to Psalm 119, which is the longest, but this is what it says. O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden from of old, things we have heard and known, things our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their forefathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. Amen. In this, first of all, in the title, which you don't, if you're not looking in your Bible, you don't have this, but the title is called A Maskil, M-A-S-K-I-L, of Asaph. So the Psalms of Asaph, there were actually 12 of them. in the book of Psalms. There's 150 Psalms. 12 of them are titled as Psalms of Asaph. So who was Asaph? He was, and his descendants, they were put in charge of the music in the worship of the Lord. That's what they were assigned to. Every one of the 12 tribes of Israel had different duties when it came to the tabernacle, which was the tent, first of all. And then David gathered the materials for the temple. His son Solomon built it. All of that followed down. They all had responsibilities. And the sons of Asaph were responsible for the worship in the temple. So maskil, M-A-S-K-I-L, that is a musical term, as we would expect it to be. But amazingly enough, in this psalm of these, there's 72 verses in it, I believe it is. And in that psalm, this son of Asaph covers a 500-year period from when the children of Israel come across the Red Sea and they're in the wilderness, all the way down to when King David is anointed as king of Israel. 500 years, if you take time today to read the whole psalm, you would follow those things through. And so he's challenging the people as he is today, as we always need to be challenged in areas in our life, whether it's naturally, whether it's spiritually, that every generation has got to know the truth of God's word. It is absolutely critical and important. And so Asaph is giving a call to the nation. What's he saying? If you're filling in your blanks, there's an outline there. The call is hear and listen. Hear and listen. He starts out in verse 1. O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. And I'm going to tell you things from of old, going all the way back there. Things that we have heard and we have known that we have to be reminded of. So our responsibility is major in this process. Number one, teaching our children God's word is not an option. Not an option. We've got to know that. Verse 5, I'm going to jump to that right now. It says, he decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel. Okay, so what? The statutes and the law, for those people at that time, that meant the Pentateuch, which penta means five. So the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, right? That in when this is being written, those five books, God used Moses to record them. So prior to Moses, that was oral tradition being passed down, right? And God inspired Moses by the Spirit of God to record all that we have there. For us today, when it's speaking of statutes and law, that means the entire Word of God, all of it. All of it that we know and teach. It's not an option. When with your children, especially when they're young, I don't know, maybe high school years, there's probably some more leeway, maybe middle school. But when they're little, do you give them the option of when they want to go to bed normally? I don't think so. I'm not in all the homes, but my guess is probably not. On special occasions, yeah. Do you give them the option of brushing their teeth or not? No, probably saw one little girl back there shaking her head. Now, I don't know about in your house, but as it was in our house when they were little, go brush your teeth. Okay, off they go. Did you brush your teeth? Yep. And I had a pretty strong hunch. Didn't happen. So I'd go in the bathroom, feel the toothbrush, dry as a bone. I said, go brush your teeth. Do I have to stand there and watch you? And I did, or Ann did. Whoever was doing it. What is it about kids and brushing their teeth? They just don't like to do it, do they? No, do you give them an option? You don't. Why am I saying this? Because this very week, I had somebody stop by the church, needed assistance, but not from the congregation or any congregation here in town. And so as I was talking with the mother, about church, about the Lord, and trying to encourage her to come. She's got a little guy. And she was saying, well, you know, I was not raised in church at all. Okay, that's all right. And so, you know what, I've decided I'm not gonna force that on my son. I'm not going to tell him he has to do that or doesn't have to do it. I'm going to let him decide all that. Okay, how's that go most of the time? Not very good. And I should have had this conversation with her. Do you make him brush his teeth? Do you make him go to bed on time? Do you determine what he can eat and not eat as far as junk food? No, we do that because we love them, don't we? All of those things. Do you tell him if he has to do his homework or not? We do those things, and so spiritually we have to do those things as well. And I think all of us here know that. But it is vital, absolutely important. Well, I want them to decide. Well, how about let's talk about the traveling teams in sports, which I enjoy sports very much, you know that. But I know there's people that travel all over the Midwest every weekend. Motels and on it goes, because most likely the parent's heart is pretty passionate about this too. It's not just the child, because they start pretty young. And they see to it that it happens, no matter what the cost. And so again, bring it over to God and His Word and our responsibility. It is all the more important. He commanded our forefathers to teach their children. Not an option. In those verses 5 and 6, the way I read it, you could read it, I suppose, differently, but I can see five generations in that verse 5 and 6 listed. I have that sort of listed out, okay? He commanded our forefathers, that's one generation, to teach their children, second generation. So the next generation, I'm calling that the third, would know them. Even the children yet to be born, fourth generation, and they, those yet to be born, in turn, would tell their children, five generations. From generation to generation, it has to go. It's not an automatic thing that just because we're sitting here today that our children will automatically know or follow God and His Word. And even as we teach them, it's not an automatic thing. It sure is a big advantage though, isn't it? We'll get to that a little later. See the importance and the urgency he's saying. I was going to ask to put this on the screen, but I didn't ask, and I'm going to tell a little deal on Cindy here since it's their baptism. A couple weeks ago back, she sent me a little video where she's singing to Connor the song, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord, that praise course. You know, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord, and he's just smiling away, and his hands are moving, and he's only maybe 3 months old at that time, right? And that's what we do. Now, maybe you're not all singers, but we can do things like that, even at that age. Singing to Him the praises of the Lord, it's so important. Because we can't just rely on the church only to do it. I've told you this before, it's been a few years back, but you figure how many hours are in the week, 168. Okay, let's say if you get 8 hours of sleep a night, do you high schoolers get 8 hours of sleep a night? I didn't figure. Let's just pretend, okay? So 7 times 8 is what? 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 Thank you. They're just being shy, I think. We need to go through the math tables again. 56, so then you're down to 112 hours. School, let's say 8 hours a day, not counting sports. Times 5, so you take 40 hours off that, you're down to 72. You add high school sports in especially, that could easily be another 20 hours a week, right, with practices and games. So then we're down to 52-ish hours a week that's left. And then let's say the church, okay, we get about 2 hours on a Sunday morning, maybe 2.5. And if they're in 6th, 7th, 8th grade, we get another couple hours a week in confirmation years. So take that 4 more hours off of 52. We're down to 48. And you might think, wow, you mean I have 48 hours with my kids in a week? Sure don't seem like it. And it probably isn't all that. Some of you I know, especially high school, you're like, I haven't seen my kids all week. Right? It's hard. You have to fight for that time. But you do have to fight for that time. And to the parents here, I want to throw in a big thank you for what you do in this regard. I say this more than once, but is it beautiful to see what we have, maybe 21 up here, high schoolers? I think that Wednesday night we had 24. Is that neat? Do you enjoy that? Just do something to your heart? Yes, it does. And they're faithful to Sunday school. And that takes the parents to make that happen. Confirmation takes the parents to make that happen. And it's vitally important. And you are valuable. God has amazing plans for each of you. So, second 2 points aren't quite as long here. Second, we cannot hide God's word from our children. Can't do it. You say, why would I? Good question. Why would we? Verse 4, Psalm 78, 4, it says, we will not hide them. That's the things God has done. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, of his power, of his wonders, the wonders he has done. We got to share those things. As you see in your own family's lives, workings of God happening, we talk about those things. It's so important to do that. Whatever they might be, to have devotion time with them at home, to give them the chance of Sunday school. I think by not giving kids the chance, that's what we're doing. We would hide God's word from them. That mother that came this week asking for assistance, which I did help her. And I'll hope to have more conversation with her. But when she says that, this guy's just, I think, like first grade. Well, I'm just going to let him decide. Just doesn't work that way. Does not work that way. We have to be diligent about it. In the confirmation process for the 8th grade year, we have these journal questions that the kids ask parents, grandparents, friends, how it goes. Some of those, and I always say this on Confirmation Sunday, but I'll say it here today. Those answers, I'm just blessed as I read those answers. What you are answering to the young people. Experiences of your life. See, that vow number 4 that we had with the baptism, what does that say? The question, do you promise? This isn't just for Corey and Cindy. I'm not singling them out. It's for all of us. Do you promise, according to the grace given you, to grow with this child in the Christian faith? It should be that we grow along in that process. To help this child to be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ by celebrating his presence, that means being here, by furthering his mission in all the world, by offering the nurture of the Christian church so that he may affirm his baptism. As I've said many times, that's the confirmation process that we do. Very important. Third, we can stand upon God's promises. We can stand. There's a promise right here in this verse 7 and 8. He's saying, after we won't hide God's word from our children, we'll tell them all the praiseworthy things of God, what he's done, what he is doing, his power, his wonders. Verse 7 says, then they, the children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, then they would put their trust in God. And they would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. That is the promise. that we stand on as we're raising our kids. So you that have raised your children, some of you already have grandchildren. Maybe there's some adult children here who are not so much serving the Lord. Maybe they've gone the route of the prodigal son. So we take a verse like this when we're praying for them. Lord, we did what we knew to do. Are any of us perfect? None of us are perfect. In raising our kids, we all make mistakes. It's a challenge. Every day, we're thinking, what am I doing wrong? We've all been there, right? We do our best. We pray, but now I'm talking, let's say, with the adult children. So you pray that, Lord, this was what you said in your word. If we would do this, these previous verses, that they would put their trust in God. They would not forget his deeds. Lord, if I go by the natural of how my son or daughter is looking right now, it seems they've forgotten about you. But Father, you know what we've done. We tried our best in bringing the word of God. We know your word is put into their heart. And this is your promise. They would not forget. They would keep your command. So, Lord, I thank you that you are working in their hearts. I don't care how old they are. If you're in your 90s and you have a 50-ish age child that's wayward, you still stand on God's word, this promise. They would not be like their forefathers. That's going back to into the wilderness, right? A stubborn and rebellious generation. Boy, they were that way, weren't they? Whose hearts were not loyal to God. Whose spirits were not faithful to him. The promise is they won't be that way. And so we stand on that promise. Proverbs 22:6, we know that verse very well. Train up a child in the way he or she should go, and when he or she is old, he will not depart from it. We stand on that. No matter, as long as we are the parent, we stand on it. It's sort of cute, you know, when I had COVID. Here's my mom's 83, my dad's 87. They're in assisted living, for those of you that don't know that. So my mom, because of her condition and all that she struggles with, rarely talks on the telephone. But that week, when the worst of it, when I had the COVID, she called me every morning. It just floored me. Michael, how are you doing today? Well, Mom, it's not a lot of fun. But I'm doing all right. Next morning, Michael, how are you doing today? A little bit better, Mom. Well, that's good, because I don't care if I'm sick, but I don't like it when my children are sick. It's always there, isn't it? She's 83, I'm 58, and she's calling me. And she has great struggles herself. That just blessed me to have her do that every day. We do that. So we be diligent. And again, thank you. We are blessed in this congregation. This is happening. I see and talk to pastors in our neighboring communities where it is not this way. Right in our region here. So you have a high school Sunday school class? Yes. And they're there almost every Sunday. Of course, they get breakfast. They'd be there even without it, wouldn't you? Maybe not. We'll keep it coming because it's worth it. We teach them diligently. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this day, for the baptism. This is such an important day for Corey and Cindy and in Connor's life and the family. Thank you for all the kids up here in children's time and for the high schoolers singing. Lord, we just rejoice. Thank you for what you're doing in the lives of our youth and children and every age in between, all the way to 100 and down. Help us to be diligent with this in church and at home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, our closing hymn, I couldn't think of anything better other than I love to tell the story, because that's what it's about. To those who know it best, for those who've never heard. Let's stand. It's on 444 in the hymnal if you want to use that. was some beautiful singing. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. And now we always, as a prayer for our nation, we sing, God bless America. May be seated. Thank you, Jennifer, for the beautiful music. And girls that are ushering, you can come, please.